All right. It's almost 3:07 here on this Monday. We made it to Monday. We should play that song, Money, Money, Money. That'd be fun. Ken Shea is in the studio. He is president, CEO of East Coast Credit Union. Money matters. They sure do. How's your weekend?
Good. Great weather we had this weekend.
So. Did you get over to see any of the hockey players?
I didn't make it. There was quite a crowd there, so I kind of stayed away. But I guess there was quite a few kids that were over there quite excited to see their heroes.
It was pretty cool. I was out front for a while on Saturday, and we had a game where you could hit the puck at the screen. It was pretty cool. The kids loved that.
And, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, go hockey. All right, let's talk about Stock Market 101. I'm just looking here. The S&P TSX is at 13,737, up 90 points. The Dow is up 78 points at 16,463. What does it mean?
So it's all good. That's good
news. Everything's green. Yeah. It's green, but what does it mean?
So basically, I thought, you know, with all the things that have been going on in the market the last few months, it might be interesting to just talk a little bit about how the markets work and what they actually represent, those particular things.
How about...
And so we can start with the indexes.
What is a stock market?
Yeah, so a stock market basically is a place where traders trade stocks for individuals that have put in orders through their brokerage. And in Canada, our stock market's in Toronto, and in New York, there's one on Wall Street, and there's guys running around with tickets saying they're willing to take so many shares at such a price, and there's a lot of stuff that happens. A lot of the trading's also done electronically now, where in the past, it used to always be, you know, actual people doing that kind of transaction. So
outsourced.
There's a process, right? but that process has changed a lot over the years. But basically what it does, it allows for a market for shares to be bought and sold. So if you're looking to buy and I'm looking to sell, it's a way for those two individuals to come together and trade those stocks.
So the market is simply just the place where they buy and sell pieces of business.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're buying and selling a part of a company, and the parts of that company are the shares. So the common shares basically make up all of the ownership of normally of a firm, and those are divided into however many shares there are, and each time you buy one share, you're buying one millionth, 1/10 millionth, 1 billionth, whatever, of the overall company as part of that process.
And the cumulative buy and sell, that's what makes up the index itself.
Well, the index itself is actually quite interesting because it's not all the stocks on the Toronto Stock Exchange make up the TSX. Not all the stocks on the Dow make up the Dow. So what happens is kind of like the consumer price index, where you have an index, which is a basket of goods or a basket of services that are kind of watched on a regular basis, and then they're used to calculate what the change in inflation is. Similar thing happens on the stock market. So basically what you have is a group of companies, and there's the TSX is, you know, the top 300 or whatever.
Okay.
So it's about 300. There's also a TSX 60, which is a smaller selection of the... So basically what happens is there's a group of stocks that are chosen, and then every so often they review those to make sure that they're still relevant, because sometimes you'll hear such and such a company is being delisted or taken off the Toronto Stock Exchange.
The ABC
listing,
buggy whip company.
Exactly.
Or something.
And the reason that happens is because as times change, firms lose their, you know, they may not be quite as popular, so they fall off. Other ones come into play. So at one time, say Apple wasn't even on. It's on the NASDAQ, I think, and it wasn't even there, but now it's a very big part of the NASDAQ because it's become one of the largest, well, it is the largest company by stock price in the world. So so as those things change, those indexes change. And so you'll hear all kinds of different ones, like there's the Toronto Stock Exchange or TSX, the Dow and the Standard & Poor's. And then there's the FTSE, which is the London Exchange. There's the Nikkei, which is Japan. So all those are very similar. So they're made up of a group of stocks that make up the what they think is the barometer of that particular country or that market.
So if we see up 92 points, which is 0.68% of the actual overall market, is that what that's
saying? Right. So what that's saying is the value of the day before was 13,000 something less 90 points, and the value right now on the market, if you took that basket of stocks and added up their market value, it would be the extra 90 basis points or 0.68% more. So what it's actually doing is it takes every one of those stocks that's in that index, reprices it as it is priced today. So some will go up, some will go down, and at the end of the day, it comes out to a number based on a weighted average of those stocks, and that's what the actual exchange is.
Okay. Now, here's where my head goes with the question. I have a bank account, and I look on a computer screen, and there are numbers. So I have an account at your credit union. And I have numbers on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I went and say, I want all that numbers in dollars.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one thing. I can have stocks in a company without having a piece of paper, can't I?
Yeah, a lot of stocks these days now are basically, you know, they're traded electronically. So you've got an electronic record, or you still have a statement that says you own so many shares, but you don't actually have the pieces of paper to support that. It's basically held for you through your financial institution or your broker. Mm-hmm. So basically the idea is that you own that percentage right. But you can trade that at any time. So the stock market creates the ability for people to have liquidity, or the ability to basically buy and sell, get out of those stocks, and then have the cash. And the price that they'd be traded at is the price that somebody else is willing to pay. So you'll often see on the stock market there's a difference between bid and ask, where people are bidding to buy stocks at a certain price and people are asking for a certain price. And when those two are real close together, that's when the trades happen.
Okay.
If they're far apart, sometimes they don't happen because there's not a willingness for someone to pay what somebody's asking.
So. Kind of like a Kijiji ad.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's what I'm offering it, and here's how much I want.
And everybody calls you and says, well, you take a little bit off. Well, it's the same thing with the stock market, except the prices are actually detailed right there, and you can go in. Often, if you have a trading account, you can go in and look and see what the bid and ask is. And you'll see that in the paper sometimes. They'll show the volumes and the bid and ask as well, just a little bit more detail in the information.
Pretty good chance anyone listening to us who has an RRSP would be invested in the stock market, yay or nay?
I would say yes. Equities are a very important part of any financial plan, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But the biggest reason, I think, is that equities tend to be one of the best places to, over the long term, outperform inflation. They tend to provide a slightly better return than other asset classes like cash or bonds. And if you have those in your portfolio, then it's going to help you, hopefully, to have a better combined return in the long run.
What'd you call it? Equity?
Equities. So equities, stocks, you know, that your ownership of those companies that you're buying through either direct investment. So you can do that through purchasing a stock itself. You could also do it through a mutual fund or electronic or exchange traded fund. So ETF. So there's all kinds of ways that you can have some kind of ownership. Many people also have ownerships that they don't even realize that they have. They might have a pension plan at work where it's invested in stocks and they don't even know exactly what's in it.
Yeah,
you know?
Wasn't it the Ontario Teachers Pension that was the owner of the Maple Leafs?
Yes.
So they had that much money invested
exactly.
in sport.
Yeah.
And they get a return. So if it's if I have a mutual fund and it's invested in a stock, the dividend, the money that stock earns, what happens to it?
That goes into the fund or the mutual fund, and then the fund either reinvested in more stock of that company or other companies based on what they think is the best use for those funds. Mm-hmm. And they use, most mutual funds have kind of an investment policy or a guiding mantra that they use to help them understand where they should be putting money, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they use that to reinvest dividends. So they use that as the basis for how they're going to invest your money.
All right. We're talking with Ken Shea. We're talking Money Matters. It is Monday. Ken is president and CEO of East Coast Credit Union. We're going to take a break. We come back. Bull market and bear market. Got to figure out what that's all about. And I don't know if it involves real critters. We'll talk about that when we come back. Oh, a little bit of financial learning here on the show this afternoon. It is Monday. It's Money Matters. Ken Shea is in the studio with us, president and CEO of East Coast Credit Union. Bull market, bear market.
So basically there's bull markets are normally when people have a feeling that the markets are going to rise. So they're aggressive. They're hoping for things to be good. Mm-hmm. So that's what's called a bull market. On the opposite, you have a bear market, which is when people feel pessimistic about what the future holds. And so they may feel stock prices are going to fall. Normally, there's bull market investors and bear market investors that are in play all the time, every day. So it's really the balance that causes us to say we're in a bull market or a bear market. So if you've got a lot of people saying things are good, you know, the market's going to increase, then that's probably more of a bull market. And if you have the opposite, then you've got a bear market. And normally that's driven by the fundamentals of financials. So it's like what's happening in corporate earnings, you know, what's happening in the confidence of businesses and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. That'll normally drive those people to think things are good or bad.
And sometimes we will hear, okay, the Fed's announcing, and you and I have talked about, you know, the bank rate to the mm-hmm. interest rate. Last week, the U.S. government didn't do anything, and that caused an effect on the markets because
they were expecting that they were going to do something.
So the fact that they simply had that expectation that wasn't met influenced or affected the stock market.
Exactly. So what happens is in many cases what the market is trying to do is to guess or predict the future, and that's what's going to cause the things to go up or down.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they'll anticipate things like a Fed change, which doesn't happen, and then it's like, okay, so you might have had people thinking they had to do certain things because that was going to happen, and then they might have to unwind those things because they might not be as good if it doesn't happen.
Don't want to drag you into a controversy, but we had a guest on a few weeks ago. Emera had purchased a Florida utility.
Yes.
The information that was released late on a Friday, we had a blogger on who said, you know, it sounded like, you know, late on a Friday, the company really didn't want anybody to know about it, but yet the folks from Emera and Nova Scotia Power said, well, we're dictated because we're a publicly traded company that we had to wait for the markets to close.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the information that comes out is protected. I know in the past people that I've worked with who've been privy to information, they were told, you are not allowed to move stock. You're not allowed to sell or buy.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of rules that people don't know about.
Absolutely. And that is true. Normally what happens is if people have, you know, the information is what you use to make decisions on. So what the market tries to control by doing things like having those big releases done after the market is closed is try to limit the ability of someone having that inside information just before the
Martha
market
Stewart.
Changes.
Martha
exactly.
Stewart. That's why she went
and,
to jail.
Yale. So if you have that kind of information, it can sometimes trigger a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why many companies, their leading executives are precluded from trading in certain areas, certain times, because if it's around one of those sensitive announcements that might either cause the stock price to go up or go down, they don't want them actually buying and selling because it might be triggering or they might be getting an unfounded gain or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they often do them after the market is closed so that it gives time for the market to assess what that means before trading resumes.
Okay.
And you'll sometimes see if there's a leak or if information comes out and there's a run, some stock starts to really trade up or whatever, and there's no reason for it, they sometimes will halt the trading just to make sure that there isn't information out there in that hasn't quite been made public yet, but that might be impacting the stock's price.
Okay, so what is an ETF?
An ETF is an exchange traded fund, and basically it works similar to a mutual fund and a stock combined. So basically the difference between a mutual fund and an ETF is a collection of funds or companies, the same as a mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's doing is it buys the index or a particular exchange. So it's got all the same stocks that say the TSX has in it.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's such a universally available thing and can be rebalanced and that kind of thing, it actually gets priced on an ongoing basis with the market. So you can actually trade it during the day. Normally, if you own a mutual fund, you're kind of a beneficial holder of a certain portion of all the mm-hmm. stocks and bonds and stuff in that fund. So normally what they do is they value them once a day. And so at the end of the trading day at 4 o'clock or whatever, mm-hmm. then you would do your trade if you were buying some that day. That's when you'd actually take possession and do the exchange.
Okay.
With an ETF, it actually trades during the day, so very similar to a stock.
Real time.
Exactly.
You buy low, sell high.
The other thing that's interesting with ETFs is they can be used in your portfolio to be a proxy for holding the index. And there's been a lot of research done about passive investing where people will use the tendency is for people to think if I try to more actively manage my portfolio that I'm going to do better.
Yeah.
But a lot of the research indicates that 90 to 95% of the fund managers don't beat the indexes.
If
they can't do it, I don't know how we expect to. So the idea is if you use those, they can sometimes be a great proxy to allow you to kind of have certain percentages of certain markets represented within your portfolio. They also tend, because they're very simple in their they're complicated but simple at the same time, but they're very simple in what they hold. So there's not a lot of extra management or thought that's required to kind of figure out what's going to be in it, because it's basically just the exchange.
Right.
So they tend to be a little bit less expensive from a management fee perspective, which is also important when you're trying to figure out what the investments are, because if you're paying out all the extra return you're getting to somebody else to manage your money, then that's not necessarily great either.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. I see the TSX, the S&P TSX is it just went up over 100 points and back down, so it's 99.8. That's a lot. 100 points in a day, swing either way.
Yeah, for sure.
That's, it goes into the red, though. That's a bad day.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that what you might want to always remember, though, with the stock market is if you try to buy one day and then sell the next day, you're probably going to lose. The chances are very good that you're going to come out behind. Really, what the stock market in the long run tends to always perform well. So if you can take your investment horizon from 1 year to, say, 3 to 5 to 10 years, all of a sudden, every time you go out, it gets more and more likely that you're going to outperform or come ahead than you will if you tried to time it each time. So they say, they talk about time in the market versus timing the market. So trying to make sure you've got that exposure to that market over the long haul will really benefit you normally, and whether it's your RSP, your TFSA, or whatever it happens to be.
All right. Ken Shea, next week we'll talk about
down payment. We're going to talk a little bit about down payment on mortgages. We'll do a little bit of a focus around first-time home buyers, because there's some special programs for them, but just down payment in general, how you generate it, what you need when you're looking to buy a house.
Can I put? Can I use my stocks as a down payment?
You can, but we normally have to sell them so that you actually put the cash in.
Gotcha.
Or we could always lend you money against the stocks, maybe. And then
okay. All makes sense. Lots of options. Yeah. Always got options.
Absolutely.
Ken Shea, thank you so much for sharing some of your knowledge with us.
No problem. Thanks,
I don't know how you keep that all straight. It's all good. All right, we're going to step into the, we've got an update in just a few seconds from the newsroom. We'll have business to get us there on the other side. We'll be talking about tonight's candidate forum here in the Halifax area, but it's not just the Halifax riding. We'll tell you more when we come back.